Imran Anwar is the president of Imran Anwar Incorporated in New York, and he's with us now on the business line. Hi, Imran.
Good morning, George.
Good to talk to you again. You and I talk about many subjects, of course. Today we will concentrate on Indonesia, and it's amazing the nature of problems and concerns in Asia are such that Indonesia has almost dropped out of the spotlight completely, and we're hardly even hearing it being discussed anymore as we jump all over the place in the media. But it's obviously very important, and we need to kind of keep a feel for what's going on there, obviously. This discussion comes in today, clearly. What is your assessment of where things are now in Indonesia?
Well, George, you're right. In Asia, if it's not one thing, it's another. And for a part of the world that has never been best known for stability and steadfastness, it's been even more hectic and more unstable than usual. So you are right on that.
We can talk about nuclear, but raise a lot of issues in the media and get a lot of angst going and a lot of concern about the nuclear race and all of that. And whatever the dangers are, in the long term, it probably means nothing. The things that are much more complicated and difficult to understand and to discuss immediately anyway have a great deal more impact. They're harder for people to stay with, I think, Imran.
That is true, and in the long run, it's always going to be the economy. It's going to be an economic war as long as we can contain potential flashpoints like India and Pakistan and prevent things from escalating out of control there. Basically, economics will be the battleground for the next century, and obviously the stability of countries like Indonesia and the economic crisis in various markets there. These are as important crises, in my opinion.
Well, in that line, how have you assessed what Mr. Habibie has attempted to do and managed to do since taking over from Mr. Suharto?
Well, I think he is a very lucky man, not just to be the president of Indonesia right now, despite his very close links with Mr. Suharto, but the fact that he will have somewhat of an extended honeymoon period with the rest of the world, because of the attention being diverted from Indonesia onto other things going on in South Asia. So he and Indonesia as a country are really, they're at a historic juncture. They have such an incredible opportunity to make things right. My personal feeling, unfortunately, is that it will be another squandered opportunity, because just the fact that my feeling is that the problems in these countries, if you want to fix them, you need to start fixing them like today, not by saying we will have elections towards the end of 1999. Things like that basically just allow people to the Suharto group to remain incensed for the required changes not to be made, and for the disenfranchisement of the people to remain a constant rather than something that could have been fixed and removed as a thorn in the side of the nation right away.
Meanwhile, a couple of things it seems to me are potential negatives, I would assume, for Indonesia. One is that the turmoil in the rest of Asia and Japan's weak economy make it difficult to find investment help that they might otherwise have had. And the plunging oil prices must be problematic. What kind of impact is that having on Indonesia?
Well, in Indonesia's case, obviously, it will have an adverse effect somewhat, but at the same time, considering that their health, the health of their economy, is also very directly related to the economies around them, which will obviously benefit from lower oil prices. So it's almost like a give and take. So I would say, yes, they will have some negative consequences, but enough of the positive around them should sort of counter that.
Where are we in terms of the social mood? Have things calmed considerably as they appear to have, and do they have that under control at least, or where are we there?
Yes, it's definitely calm. As a matter of fact, the U.S. has also restricted travel, has removed the travel restrictions for people going back into Indonesia, diplomats, etc. So, yes, there is a sense that there is more stability there, but it can be misleading. If Mr. Habibie does not exploit this opportunity that history has provided him to make things right, things can go the other way again very fast. And if people have learned the lesson that they can bring down somebody like Suharto with street protests, somebody like Mr. Habibi may actually end up facing more and stronger street unrest just because people get the message that this is how things get done.
It is my sense, as an observer and some of the things I've read, that Mr. Habibi's style is different. That from Mr. Suharto, that he is at least, I don't know if this is a ploy or what, but he seems to be more, you know, that he's almost more of the American style, more a man of the people. You know, he chaps, he talks, he waves, he would look like a handshaker maybe to me, compared to Mr. Suharto at least. And is that correct, and is that beneficial at this point? Is that going to help him out a lot?
Yes, it'll help him out temporarily. It's almost like, you know, coming up with exciting advertising and marketing for a new product, but the product is still the same old unsafe the device that you had problems with in the past. There's just so much that advertising will do for you.
But am I correct that he does kind of come across that way, and he is he's a bit charming and relative to Mr. Suharto anyway?
Well, Mr. Suharto, with his military background, obviously, you know, went to military school and not the school of charm. And
but this may be the time when you need a personable leader to get the confidence of the people. That
absolutely. But keep in mind one thing, George: the most charming person who remains in power for 30 years is no different from a person who was a military governor or a military ruler in the first place.
You're right. So in other words, you think that there's a lot of veneer here and maybe a grain or two too little sincerity in Mr. Habibi?
I wouldn't say exactly that, but
somewhere in there. In other words, maybe this is a better way for me to put it. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but am I hearing you say? Well, let's you're going to reserve judgment until you see something actually substantive happening.
That too, and my feeling is that my judgment is being based upon the fact that I'm not seeing enough happening.
Yeah.
Yes, you have let go of 10 or 16 political prisoners. Yes, you have shown some willingness to discuss East Timor and its, how it relates to the rest of the country. But in the meantime, the more fundamental problem is how the economy is doing, how the people are doing, how the political structure is designed, and how this whole thing with family and friends—it's like it's a huge MCI program there.
Yeah.
It's like friends and family multiplied by 100.
Given certain realities, then, I mean, obviously, he's not going to just hack himself off at the waist. But given those realities, what would you hope to see that you could, figure might happen that to come from Mr. Habibi that would say to you, yes, he's trying to do what he can to get this thing underway?
Well, for one thing, I don't expect him to be in a position to, like, strong full-fledged prosecution of Mr. Suharto's family, but if at least there was some semblance of investigations and some exposure of the corruption that took place, and which, I mean, you know, he his own friends and family may be involved, that's the tricky part, but to do something and take away some of the assets, show the people that they're getting some of their wealth back, that would be a good first step.
And so far, it's the only good thing is that things have changed a bit, and the jury is still out as to whether or not that's really going to be good or the status quo, you think?
Absolutely.
Imran, as always, a pleasure, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Imran Anwar, president of Imran Anwar Incorporated in New York.